Hello. Do you know, I think it's been, I don't actually know what's going on today. Do you think that they all just came in last night and had a bit of a carry-on with the balloons? And I don't really know what happened, but it's just, it's quite impressive. What I really would like to do, Stevie and I had a conversation about this at one point. What we'd really like to do is we'd really like to have the opportunity to be able to shoot them down. We think that would be really funny if we were allowed to do that. And then we could have prizes and stuff like that, depending on which ones you hit. And I just think that'd be great, wouldn't it? That'd be great fun, wouldn't it? We should organise that. Please, can we organise that? I don't know who I'm asking. Gary, yes, you're okay with that. Like, well, in that case, we're going to do that. So someone needs to organise, something to shoot them down with, all right? And then we'll take it from there. I loved it. Wasn't it amazing just hearing story after story of what God's been doing? Just absolutely incredible, wasn't it? And it's great because what it does is it just speaks life over us. What it does is it actually sort of says, you know, if it's possible for these guys, it's possible for me. You know, this stuff isn't held back from anybody. The goodness of God is available for each and every one of us. Isn't that amazing? And I was away. I've been away for the last couple of days through in the East and Dalkeith, a Clan Lothians event. And so a group of churches working together there in that area in Lothians. And they had this big kind of thing in Dalkeith Secondary School. An incredible kind of place, and it was just fantastic. They were just working together and doing different things. Anyway, what I wanted to say was this, that I told them some of the testimonies that we had last week, so the one from Nicola and the one from Diane, and I told them some of the other things that were going on. And, you know, they were so encouraged to hear the stories of what God's been doing in our lives. You know, and I said to them, you know, every week now we're seeing, you know, we're doing exactly this thing. We're hearing different stories because God is good and he is breaking into our life and he is changing circumstances and he's doing stuff that is just amazing, absolutely amazing. And so that's really good and I'm encouraged by that, even if nobody else is. You all look as though you're kind of going, well, I don't know, that's all right, that seems all right. Anyway, so that's good. And the other thing I wanted to say was this, that I really wanted to say two other things actually before I get into what I want to say. So the first thing I want to say before I say the other thing is everyone is welcome here. You know, I was just sitting there thinking, you know, it is fantastic to be able to just know that we are welcomed by God here. You know, everyone has a place here. Everyone is welcome. Everyone is accepted, you know, and cherished for who you are. Not for who you think you should be, not for who other people think that you should be, but just for who you are. And you can come just as you are and know that you're welcome in this place. That's the first thing. And I think that's really good. And then the second thing is this. I really think that God wants to refresh people today. You know, I just think it's amazing that we would be able to come here. And, you know, you hear these stories and you think, and I don't know what it does to you, but it makes me kind of go, how can I get some of that? I want some of that. That sounds good. I would like that to happen in my life. Thank you very much. And so the answer is you can, and you can. And what we do is at the end of our time, once I've finished saying what I'm going to say, then we have a ministry time. And so you come, and people will pray for you, and God will do different things with different folks. That's the amazing thing. So whatever you need today, whatever it is that you're longing for today, you can come and be prayed for, and God is going to do it, because God is good, and he's in a good mood, and he wants to give good gifts to his children, which is you. Isn't that good? I'm encouraged. I think we should just stop now, don't you? I kind of feel like we should just stop and have ministry now. Let's just, no, better not. Okay, because where's Ben? Is Ben here? Oh, he's at creche. Oh, I can do what I like then. Ben's in charge of the teaching in church, and it gave me into such trouble a couple of weeks ago for completely ignoring. I actually missed a whole section of Ephesians. I want you to know, nobody noticed. Nobody has come up and actually sort of said, "What? Oh, apart from you, yes, Mark, get off." Anyway, apart from Steve, nobody else noticed that actually we missed out the last section of Ephesians 4, okay? So if you want to know about Ephesians 4, then you'll have to ask, and we'll tell you. I'm not preaching on it. I don't care. I'm not going back. So it's really good that he's not here today, because actually I'm supposed to preach on the next whole chunk, and I'm not going to. Hey! I'm going to preach on one verse. So, the one verse that I'm going to preach on, oh, is this it? Yes, it is. There it is. It's Ephesians 5, verse 21. And it says this. Submit. No telling him, by the way, okay? Shh. He won't know. Right. What's going on? Right, where's the guns? We've got to get the guns. That's the one away at the back there. Come on, Chris, you're tall. Get that balloon down. Okay, so clearly you should have brought your Bibles because it's not going to go up there. So if you have your Bibles in front of you, let's read together. Well, you can see it. So Ephesians sort of, what a shambles. Right, anyway, submit to one another. Submit. What are they? Let's just stop for a moment and enjoy the, right, that'll do, right, oh yeah, way, there you go. Honestly, it would have been a lot more fun with a gun, anyway. Right, okay, so I want to read this. So if it says, Ephesians 5, verse 21 says, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. And I actually want to read two more passages to you, one from Matthew 20. So if you do have your Bibles, let's read together from Matthew 20. Matthew 20, verse 25. And then we'll read a wee bit further on as well in Matthew. this is a great, an absolutely incredible piece of cheek, actually. If you know this passage, this is a great story. Basically, what happened was that some of the disciples, they'd heard that Jesus was going to die. He was going to go and be king in heaven. And the two disciples, the sons of Zebedee, James and John, sent their mum to go and ask Jesus whether or not they could get the best seats in heaven. That's what happened. So Jesus is pouring out his heart. I am going to die. I'm going to the cross. And then she turns up and goes, oh, well, when you get there, can my boys have good seats? Is that all right? Anyway, it's a ridiculous passage, but anyway, we're not talking about that just now. We're going to talk about the bit after that, which is Matthew 20, verses 25 and on for about four verses. Jesus called them together and said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be a servant. And whoever wants to be first must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Okay, and then just a couple of pages later, Matthew 26 and at verse 39. Matthew 26 and at verse 39 says this. Going a little further, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, my Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will. So, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Do not lord it over one another. Not my will, but your will be done. Some of you know the guy who was the previous chairman of Clan Gathering. He's a wee guy called Kenny. So, wee Kenny, Kenny Borthwick. He's kind of that high. I don't know why I'm telling you how high he is, but anyway, he's that high. And over the years, I've been involved in this ministry, which is a kind of a, for those of you who don't know, it really started as a big conference, and it continues to be a big conference that happens each summer, where the church gathers from all over Scotland and indeed beyond now, and several thousand people come together. It's an amazing thing, great fun. Please come. If you're not booked, come. It's good. But the thing was, Kenny led that, and actually a whole lot of other things happened out the back of it as well. And Kenny led that ministry, I think, for a number of years. And I remember very, very clearly one particular event where he was speaking, and he was speaking about how we were to passionately pursue the kingdom of God, how we were not to turn away, but we had to give ourselves ourselves completely to this work, that we weren't to wait until people kind of around about us were saying, yes, we were going to do it, but we had to take the initiative and we had to step forward. We were the ones that were able to do these things. And he talked about the fact that actually, in particular, he spoke about, it was a time where he spoke about how leaders needed to lead. And if they didn't lead, then the next generation would leapfrog past them. And something inside me just stirred with such a sense that this guy was absolutely speaking the word of the Lord. That it was just one of those moments where I absolutely, you know, I just knew that God was speaking. And so for no particular apparent reason, as far as I could tell, and certainly as far as the people around about me could tell, I just, in the middle of the big tent, there's like thousands of people around, in the middle of the big tent, I'm standing there, and he's speaking up at the podium, and all of a sudden, I stood up and went, yes! 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 Like that. Which is not, if you don't know about church protocol, by the way, That's not the normal. That's not what you know. So, but something in what he said just made me think, yes! Come on! Yes! And everybody else was sort of sitting there very quiet. Yeah, I think that's really interesting. And I'm going, come on! You know, anyway. And so at the end of the thing, after all my pals had come up and gone, you are off your trolley, pal. Just, do you not know how to behave? Anyway, after they told me off, I kind of thought, well, actually, what's going on there? What's actually happened? Well, what happened was this, that I listened to this guy, and I just thought, that's exactly what we're supposed to be doing. And he's doing it. He's going for it. And I'm going to support him. And I just, and then actually what I felt was, I after I'd kind of calmed down and been quiet for a moment or two, I really felt that what the Lord was saying to me was, go and tell him that you're willing to serve him. So at that point, I didn't know any of the people involved in Clan particularly. So it was a wee bit kind of like, you know how they have it at the front. They've got all the speakers at the front and stuff like that. And we don't quite have kind of like bouncers or anything like that, you know. But there's definitely a space in which, you know, people sit. And at that point, I didn't know any of them. So I was quite shy actually about going up and saying, well, Kenny, I was the guy that shouted during your talk. So I didn't say that. I thought that would just be embarrassing. So what I said was, I just went up to him and I said, look, my name's Alan, I'm minister in Glasgow, and I just want you to know that I really appreciated what you had to say, and I felt the Lord say to me to come and offer you to serve you. So anything that I can do, you just need to ask. And Kenny is just very, very shy. And very, very quiet. I mean, you wouldn't believe it because he does all these amazing things. But actually, when he comes off and he's just standing about talking to folks, he's actually quite shy. So he was quite. He was. I think I was. I was obviously still in that kind of thing. And he was looking at me, thinking, "Who is this crazy man?" Yes, like yes, I really want you to serve me. Yeah, absolutely. Beat it, you nutter. Anyway, so. So that happened once, and then something else happened. We went to a leaders' event again. He was speaking at, and again the same thing happened. I felt the Lord say, "You need to go and offer to serve him." So, I really felt that it was something. You know, it was almost like you know, you've got to go and offer to serve him. There's something that's tangible here. You've not to turn away. You know, and it was almost that kind of like, okay. So I went along and I sort of said, "Hi, Kenny, I'm Alan, minister from Glasgow, and I met you once before, and I kind of said this to you before, but I really felt the Lord said the same thing again, to come and say that, to serve you, and is there anything I can do? Do you want me to help in any way? I don't know what I could do, but if I could do anything, you just need to ask, and I'll do it." And he didn't back away quite so much that time, but he kind of went, "Oh, okay," and didn't do anything about it. So this is like about, I don't know, this is the second time was maybe about a year after the first time. Well, about another 6 months passed, and still nothing at all. He was quite polite the second time. He was a bit kind of like, beat it, you nutter, the first time, but he was quite polite the second time, but nothing happened, and I really thought something was supposed to happen. So after about 6 months, I got his phone number, because all the Church of Scotland ministers, you can find them. They've got there's a book that you can find a number in. So I found his number, and I thought, I'm going to phone him up, and I'm going to phone him up. So I phoned him up, and he got Moragi's wife, and I said, "Hello, my name's Alan," and you know all that stuff. And she said, "Right, okay." And I said, "I think is there any chance of coming through and seeing him? And I just have something that I'd like to talk to him about." And she said, "Yes, that's fine." Made an arrangement. That was fine. I didn't tell Kenny until afterwards. And then I'd kind of get myself organized and gone through to Edinburgh, and specifically to go to say the same thing that I'd said to him twice before now. So for a third time, I went through and I said, I just feel that the Lord's telling me that I'm supposed to come and I'm actually supposed to serve you. Is there anything that I can do? Well, at that point, what happened was he kind of looked at me funny. And he said, "Well, I'll think about it and I'll get back to you." And I thought, "Yeah, wee bandit, you've told me that once before." So I didn't say that, but I thought it. And I said, "Well, is there anything you have in mind?" And he kind of said, "Well, actually, there is." And I said, "Oh, right. Oh, what is it?" He said, "I think you're supposed to take over Clan." Hang on a second. No, I'm here to serve you so that you would be lifted up. I'm not here to take your job away. I'm here to actually serve you. And he, you know, at this point, he had a big smile on his face. He was thinking, "Ha, ha, ha, I've got someone sucked in." Ha. Anyway, so we had this conversation, and I said to him, "No, I'm happy to come and serve. I'll come and be part of the thing, and I'll do whatever you want me to do. But I'm here because I want you to be served. I want you to know that actually this is about helping you to be everything that God's called you to be." That's what I felt that the Lord was saying to me. So it's been a really interesting experience, actually, just kind of walking through that whole process with him. And that was... it's a great phone, isn't it? There you go. The thing that I think that was really interesting about it was this, that actually what I realized as I was sitting there in this front room, basically having fallen into a trap of my own making, what I realized was, flipping heck, what am I going to do with church and with Invest and with Presbytery and with Lying Rampant, the stuff that I was doing with football at that point? You know, what am I going to do with all of that? How's that going to work? And I realized actually at that point, the only way that it was going to be possible to be able to serve him was if I laid down some of the things that I was doing. Now, I believe absolutely in my heart that Kenny is actually going to increase in his stature, not his height, but his stature, his influence and his status within, not only within the denomination, but actually, and not only actually within Scotland, but I think that actually what we're going to see is that having been released from leading the Clan team, he actually is now going to have an even greater influence. And it was interesting because actually that was, I think, now that I've kind of watched and seen over the last few years, I've realized actually that was actually what God was doing. He needed somebody else to come in to serve so that he could actually move into the greater things that he's supposed to do. And I suppose the reason for kind of telling you that story is this. It's really about answering the question, how do we advance the kingdom? We advance the kingdom by learning how to submit to one another. And we submit, and submission is actually about us willingly serving others and laying down our agenda. That's actually what it's about. Do you want to know how the Ephesians in 50 years overcame their city and their region with the gospel of Jesus Christ? They learned how to submit to one another. They learned what it meant to lay down their agenda and willingly serve each other. And when Paul wrote to them and said to them, "What I want you to do is I want you to submit to one another out of reverence for Christ," what he was doing was he was saying to them, if you want to achieve the greatest things possible, it is only possible when you are willing to go under one another, willing to serve one another, willing to lay down your stuff so that others can rise higher. That's actually what, that is what this is about. And that is why I believe the Ephesian church was actually able to do what they were doing. Not because they had some super duper fantastic strategy, not because they had some amazing leaders, although both these things are actually true, but because they learned how to do this. They learned how to lay down their agenda and submit to one another, to serve one another. And in doing so, they actually achieved incredible things. Submission, the definition I have anyway of submission is, it's the active and willing service of others for the sake of advancing the kingdom of God. So submission is the active, it's not a passive thing, you've got to choose, you've got to engage with it, and willing, it's not something that is forced on you, it's something that you choose. Service of others for the sake of the advancement of the kingdom of God. Submission is, as I say, laying down our agenda for the sake of serving other people's agendas. Submission is choosing, and this is an interesting part of it, choosing to trust someone else even when I don't understand everything and sometimes don't even understand why they're asking me to do the thing that they're doing, which is what I felt like with Kenny. Because actually, for quite a period of time, I was resisting actually kind of taking responsibility to lead the thing, because I thought, actually, what Kenny needs is me to kind of be alongside him, like a kind of a good lieutenant kind of thing, and I will cheer him along and stand beside him when he goes to difficult meetings and go, no, don't touch the Lord's anointed, get away, you know, that kind of thing. Whatever I had to do. That's what I thought it was about. I actually thought it was about, and so when he kind of kept on sort of saying, no, I'm stepping back, I'm moving into other things, I thought, no, that can't be right. But actually, I'd chosen to serve, I'd chosen to submit, I'd chosen to lay down the agenda that I had, and actually started sort of saying, right, okay, well, I don't really know how that's going to work, but okay, I'm willing to do that. When we went to Mozambique, one of the most incredible kind of experiences we had was, I think, maybe a couple of months into it. We were there for 3 months, and a couple of months into it, a report came back from one of the outlying kind of works that they do in a place called Beira, which, for those of you, when are you? You're there. You guys, you know it's hot. Yeah, so it's like hot. Beira is really, really just a horrible, you know, place. And they feed, they have a feeding program. IRS has a feeding program there, and they feed 10,000 children on a daily basis through a whole series of churches getting involved and stuff. But basically, they have 10,000 folks that they feed in that area. And the report came back to the folks, to Heidi and Roland and the folks at the base that we were in Pemba, the central sort of organizational base that they have, that for various reasons, the people who were there were no longer able to actually stay, and that they'd left. They'd actually, not just that they couldn't stay, but they'd actually already left, and that therefore nobody was feeding the kids. Now, it's a hugely difficult job to actually kind of organize this particular kind of program, and it's a horrible place to actually be. It's really, as I say, my understanding is it's quite a sort of a pretty desperate place, And Heidi just stood up in front of the whole of the school, the folk, you know, all the different folks that were there, and just simply said, this is the situation, this is what's happened, we need somebody to go. Would you be willing to go? And at which point, because everybody knew just the cost that was involved, there was an element of everyone looking at their toes at that point, you know, kind of thinking, well, I obviously can't do it because I'm a student, and you can't do it because you're doing this, and you can't do it because you, and it was a fascinating kind of period. But within 24 hours, one of the guys who was part of the team that were actually running our school agreed that he was going to do it. He was a doctor. He was actually one of the medics on site, And he was doing all sorts of important jobs in the clinic, and he was doing a whole bunch of other things. That he was developing projects. He was doing, you know, he was doing lots and lots of good stuff on the base. He was involved in our school. He was leading a small group. And probably more important than anything else, he'd just started going out with one of the girls in the school, which he wasn't really supposed to do because he was one of the leaders. But anyway, this relationship was had all the hallmarks of this is going the whole way. This is actually the girl that he's going to end up marrying. And actually, I think that's actually what happened subsequently. And he was the one that said, okay, I'll go. It's probably 3-4 months at least. When you kind of go to these sort of things, before they can actually then send anyone else to relieve you. And sometimes actually it can take longer. It can take 6 months to 12 months to actually kind of get these programs started. And I remember actually kind of, I mean, it wasn't a kind of like, you know, everybody was all out in the front and then he stood up and said, I shall go. You know, it wasn't like that at all. You know, we just heard that this is the choice that he'd made. And again, it's this thing of people who are willing to say, you know, I know that I've got stuff going on. You know, I've got the clinic thing going on. I've got projects that are developing. I know that I'm actually got responsibility in the school. And I know that I've got this girl that I really, really like. And I don't know if I leave now for the next 3 months or 6 months or 12 months, whether or not she'll actually be there when I come back. But I'm willing to go. Because I've chosen to submit myself. I've chosen to lay down my agenda. I've chosen to serve. And actually, I don't know how it's going to work out, and I don't actually know what it's going to do, but I'm telling you that I'm willing to go. And he went, and as a result of that, these kids continue to be fed. Do you want to know what will change this, our city and our nation? When we learn to submit to one another, when we learn to give ourselves to the greater things, when we learn to actually say, I know that there's a whole lot of stuff going on in my life and there's a whole lot of things in terms of my agenda that I'm pursuing. But when we hear something, and again, it's that moment where you just kind of do what I did, you know, that crazy moment where actually somebody's speaking and in your heart, you might not, please feel free if you wanted to stand up and go, yes, but you know, you might just kind of get to the point where, and it's not just in church, but in other places as well, where you just know that something that somebody's saying is actually the thing that you just know is right. And then you say, yes, and you're willing to serve. I'm willing to do whatever it is that you've called me to, God. And that's actually how we will see a city and a nation change, because what happens is this, that actually we begin to do exactly what I talked about in terms of these examples. You know, we begin to see that actually by willingly saying to Kenny, yeah, I'll do that, that's actually meant he's been able to do the other things. That by that guy saying, I'm willing to go and serve, that not only are those children kind of being fed, but actually the work of the kingdom is expanding. That's, you know, it's that kind of stuff. It's the fact that they're willing to feed 10,000 kids out of that area in Beira that actually is part of the reason why, you know, the population has changed from 98% Muslim to 50% Christian in 8 years. 1.6 million people, 800,000 people coming to faith over an 8-year period. That is why. It's because the children are being fed. It's because they're serving and willingly giving themselves to the work of the kingdom. You want to know how to take over a city? You want to know how to see a nation changed? It's actually the ability to be able to see the bigger thing and willingly invest our lives for something that is even greater. Now, I couldn't speak on this verse from Ephesians without mentioning the fact that actually there's a lot of negativity around this concept of submission. There's a whole bunch of stuff that's happened as a result of this particular passage, which has actually resulted in the oppression of people, and in particular, the oppression of women. There have been many, many who have suffered abuse by the hands of leaders in churches, mostly men, who have damaged people, who have damaged churches, and who have caused people to actually be pushed down by a misreading and a misteaching of this concept of submission. And I suppose, as I say, it's not easy for us to go past this thing without mentioning one or two things that submission does not mean. And I just want to be very clear about that. Submission is not subjugation, okay? Subjugation is having a yoke laid upon you. It's actually forcibly being pushed down by others. What is being talked about here is not a subjugation. It's not a pushing down. That is a wrong understanding of the scripture here. That's not what it teaches us. Nobody is to be forced to do anything by anyone. It is all about choice. It is all about activating our will to say, I will come down. I will lay down my agenda. I will step down and I will serve you. Submission cannot happen by force or be demanded of. And that's, again, I think the thing about force, in one sense, we're all quite kind of, I think it's very obvious that that's not true, that that's not right. But actually, the way that it's been used is this, that there's been a demand for submission placed upon us. And actually, again, I think that that's actually caused great damage to the body of Christ. And again, I want to just be very clear that that's not what is in the scripture here. Submission is an active choice made by me, not compelled, not forced, not demanded, not required, willingly given, willingly chosen, freely given. And nothing else is true submission. Everything else is a distortion of what is here. And I think that, and I suppose what I want to say is this, that actually, first of all, I just want to, I do what I can do, which is to stand and to say, you know, as one of the church leaders in this church, I just want to say I'm sorry if that's happened to you. I'm sorry that if you've ever gotten into a situation where you've been damaged by either by the oppression of men or the wrong teaching of the church in this area, or in particular the whole thing of church leaders who have made you feel that actually you have to do it because it says in the Bible you've got to submit. And I just want to say that I'm sorry for that, and I repent of that. I turn away from that. I say I'm sorry for that. And I ask that you would forgive me on behalf of any other leaders that have done that to you, any other men that have done that to you. That is not what the scriptures teach. That is not what it's about. And again, one of the things that I would want to say is that at the end, not only will we be praying for refreshment, but we'll also be praying for freedom. Because there's some folks that have just carried a weight of that stuff over the last wee while because they've experienced these things. And actually, I'll be there to pray at the end. And you know, and if you feel in particular that's something that's happened to you, come and I'll pray for you. I'll take off the false yoke that's actually held you down, because that's not what this is about. That's not what this teaches us. What happens when we? When the people that we have chosen to submit to either go the wrong way or fail, then what do we do? Okay, we need to think about that. What happens when we submit to folks and they actually go the wrong way or they fail? The whole thing of leadership, both in the church and actually, interestingly, secular, you know, within the world, there's a whole sort of study on leadership. You know, you can go to, you know, go to the bookstores and there's kind of like big chunks of books, tons and tons of books about leadership. And it's quite interesting that in the last kind of 50 years, probably more so in the last 20 years, the whole concept of leadership and what leadership actually is has substantially changed, mostly as a result of the reflection on some of the atrocious leadership that's actually been shown, and certainly in the last century, as you think about things like the dictators like Hitler and so on, and the absolute devastation that they brought to the world. But even interestingly, the leadership not only in that kind of political arena, but also in terms of things like science. You know, where Oppenheimer, you know, who in many of folks had sort of thought is undoubtedly one of the most amazing scientists of that century, produced nuclear bombs, you know, and people begin to kind of look and sort of say, these are the guys that were leading us, and look where they led us. They led us into all this stuff. And even recently, we think about other examples of leadership, someone like Fred Goodwin from the banking. And we think, you know, there's another person that's kind of led us down a path that actually has really been damaging. And as a result of that, what's happened is that for many people, and particularly in the whole thing of leadership theory, if you like, What's happened is that there's now been an inversion from the great leaders, you know, who lead from the front and charge and all the rest of it. That actually, they now talk about servant leadership. And actually, servant leadership is talked about not only in the church context, but actually in the secular and the business context more and more as a model for leadership for today. And I think that actually, as we move forward and as we deal with this, we recognize that there's a history. We recognize that people make mistakes. And so the question is, how do we deal with that? How do we deal with folks that we've chosen to submit to who go wrong and who fail? Well, the first thing is this, that submission is a choice. We and it's not just one choice, it's actually an ongoing choice. You know, we continue to choose whether or not we're going to submit to folks. And that's also a choice when we think about it within this context. It's a choice about whether or not they are we're submitting to folks who are advancing the kingdom of God. And so those are the criteria. We're choosing to continue to do that. We cannot submit to people who are leading us away from the teaching of the scriptures. That's wrong. And so when we get into a situation, whether it's in the church, whether it's in the world, whether it's in the business, whether it's in whatever it is that you're doing, if you find a situation where actually you've kind of put your trust in someone, and actually what's happened is that they're now going to lead you away from what God is teaching, then you're not compelled to submit to them at that point. That's not what God calls us to do. He doesn't expect us to be disobedient to His word. His word is truth. Now and for always. It's the bedrock of our faith. It's the programming language of Christianity, the scriptures, every time. But the question is this is the bit that we need to kind of get our heads around. Sometimes we need to be willing to forgive people and to give them another chance. We need to be willing to actually say, okay, I see what you were trying to do there. You got it wrong. And actually, I'm willing to actually kind of submit. I'm willing to follow your leadership again. I'm willing to actually submit myself, put myself under what you do. And again, I recognize that that's not an easy thing for us to kind of get a hold of. But actually, over the years, I just want to sort of say this. You know, when leaders in particular make mistakes, it's very easy for them to end up in, you know, the sort of the church Siberia, you know, being sent away to the very furthest places. But the reality is this, that there is forgiveness and restoration for everybody. And that includes leaders, which is good news. So as we think about this, and we think about what it means to actually learn how to submit to one another, there is a huge challenge here. The challenge is this, that actually what this is about is us learning the deep things of faith. It's actually about learning how to allow Jesus to be Lord of our life. You see, we find it nice when Jesus is our Savior, because what He does is He takes our sins away and He helps us to get right with God. But actually what He's asking is not just simply to be our Savior, but to be our Lord. And what maturity teaches us is this, that actually if we want to be mature in faith and if we want to achieve the fullness of what God wants for us, then we need to learn how to come under the Lordship of Christ. And that is about submitting to Him. Now, the thing about saying that, and the thing about saying that we're willing to submit to Christ is this, that actually, although He's here, you can't see Him. And although He speaks, you know, you don't necessarily kind of, it's easy to ignore Him. And actually, this is the thing that we need to learn. We need to understand that what Paul was actually doing here was he's saying, when we learn what it is to submit to Christ, what we're doing is we're actually learning to submit to one another, because we are the body of Christ. We are the body of Christ together. And so what we're trying to do is we're trying to learn how to do that. We're trying to learn how to submit to one another. That is hugely, hugely countercultural. You're aware of that, yeah? It's hugely countercultural because we live in a society that says, I have the right to live any way that I choose. And I will choose whatever I want to do. And I will pursue my rights to the nth degree. And nobody's disputing that. I'm not disputing that. I'm not saying that that's not actually true in terms of what's happening. We do have a right to choose how we're going to live. What's being offered here is a choice that we are going to choose to lay down our agenda. That we're going to choose to serve somebody else's vision. That we're going to choose to pursue the kingdom of God in whatever example, whatever form that is. So let's look finally at the example of Jesus. That's why I read to you the passages that I did out of Matthew's Gospel. Jesus' teaching is very clear when he talks to these disciples, and he talked about this whole thing of how do you actually do this thing of submitting to one another. He said, you know, don't be like the other people. Don't be like the folks outside who lord over one another, who push each other down, who actually think that, you know, getting ahead is actually about getting, is about pushing other folks down so we can get a punt up. That's actually not how the kingdom of God works. The kingdom of God works the other way around, he said. It actually works by us going down as servants. He said, it actually works by us being slaves. It's when we give up everything that we have so that others may rise. That's actually when we'll see the kingdom of God advance. That's when we will see our life. I mean, and again, I suppose I come back to the story I told at the beginning with Kenny. You know, I didn't expect to be asked to, quite the opposite, in fact. I was not expecting to be asked to take over leadership of Plan. But actually, what I found is by serving, he is released, and I actually have entered into the thing that God has called me to. That's actually, that was what the plan and purpose for God had for my life. And so actually, he is blessed, and I am blessed. Now, I didn't do it so that I would get that. I did it because I want to bless him. I want to serve him. But actually, that's how the kingdom of God works. That's what Jesus was teaching his disciples. But not only do we see that in his teaching, we also see it in his lifestyle. That's why I read the passage from the Garden of Gethsemane when he said, you know, when he struggled with the choice that was in front of him. Jesus had a choice. Jesus did not need to go to the cross. He did not need to go to the cross. It was a choice. He could have chosen not to go to the cross. He could have chosen not to take the cup of suffering that was being offered to him. And he struggled with that, a real struggle where he actually could have chosen either way. He was free to do that. But he had chosen, not my will, but your will be done. That is what led to us being set free. That choice, that willingness to lay down his agenda so that the Father's agenda, which was that we would be set free, that his love would be shown to us, that we would know what it is to experience life in all its fullness. Jesus demonstrated exactly what this thing of submission looks like. And his achievement was, as I say, that we would be able to experience life now and the opportunity for life eternal. So here's the thing. Why focus on one verse? If we learn to do this stuff, if we learn how to actually submit to one another, if we learn that it is a choice, it's a free choice, an active choice, but a free choice, that no one can compel us, no one is forcing us, but instead, if we actually live this way, then we will actually learn how to live in the strange dynamics of the kingdom of God. The ability to be able to lay our lives down actually means that we will live all the more. And it doesn't make any sense. It's counterintuitive. It's certainly countercultural. But actually, that's the truth. And again, I just, part of the reason for telling you what is effectively part of my testimony is to say, I know that this is true. I know that this is true. And many of you know that too. How do we take the city for God? How do we take the nation for God? We do so by learning how to submit. And that's what God's calling us to think about today. The invitation is to enter into this kingdom principle in a way that will truly transform our lives, our family, our church, and ultimately our city and our nation. Let's pray. Father, we want to thank you. We thank you for this truth, for this principle from your word. And Lord God, we perhaps had never thought about it as being the key to unlocking the amazing things of the kingdom of God. So, Father, we just want to pray that you would sear these words into our hearts, into our minds, and that, Lord God, that we would allow ourselves that ability to be able to enter into these things, to be able to think about them and to ponder on them and to then move forward with clarity. Father, I do want to pray particularly for those who have been abused by this teaching wrongly applied, for those who feel that they have been pushed down and subjugated, for those who feel that they've just been, that they have had no freedom. They've just been forced. And Lord God, I just ask in particular where that's happened as a result of the church and of the teaching of the church, I just ask that you would forgive us, and that, Lord God, that you would release people today from all that would hold them down. Lord, we thank you that today is a day of freedom and a day of refreshment. And we just simply ask, Lord God, that as we worship you and as we give our lives to you today afresh, that, Lord God, that you would be honored and glorified, and that your kingdom would come here in this city and in this nation just as it is in heaven. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.